You're listening to Rabbit Trails.
Okay, right. Jess.
Hello.
Rabbit Trails.
Number something.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one. Well, how many we've done?
This is number four.
No, we've done more than four.
All right.
Yeah, maybe six.
Okay, Rabbit Trails number six. So what's on your heart at the moment, Jessica? What have you been thinking about?
Well, I've just been stuck in this passage. I actually preached on it on Sunday. But I've been stuck in 1 John 1. 1. it speaks about the word of life. And I'll just read the first four verses.
Go for it. Yeah, absolutely.
And it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and we have testified to it, and to proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And what just struck me about that verse is that it speaks about a gospel that they have encountered. And if you think about who John was, John the beloved, the one, the disciple that Jesus loved, he literally had encountered Jesus. He had an actual, like, human-to-human friendship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought about when he's ministering, when he's sharing the gospel, he's talking about his friend.
Yeah. You know?
And when he's talking about Jesus, he's talking about a guy that he knew and really had walked with. He's talking about miracles that he's seen Jesus do. He's saying, like, no, you don't understand. I've seen the good news. I've heard him, and I've touched the good news. I've touched the word of life.
Yeah.
And I love going back even to just John, the Gospel of John, where he says, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then bringing it to here, it speaks about the word of life. And just realizing that the gospel that John is talking about bringing to the world, he's talking about his friend. And what's remarkable to me about that is that he speaks about it at the end here. It says that so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Meaning that, yes, I may have walked with Him humanly, but come walk beside me, come get with my friends, and you too will be able to experience and encounter and have this fellowship, this friendship with Jesus in the same way that I did. It's actually available to you, and that's remarkable. Well,
I love that. I think I can just hear the inner, you know, I can hear the little critic on my shoulder saying, no, that John is just pointing as a witness to Jesus, and he is it's an authority claim that he's claiming and saying, listen, this isn't just a story that I've heard.
Mm.
I walked with Jesus. I was there when he walked on the Sea of Galilee, when he multiplied the fishes and the loaves, and therefore you can believe me. What I'm saying. And I can hear the critic saying that he's pointing to his relationship with Jesus, and the fact that he is an eyewitness of the life of Jesus in order to call people to believe what he says. And I suppose my response my response coming from the angel rather than from the little demon on the other shoulder, would be that, yeah, but Jesus said, he said that if I go, it is good for you that I go, because if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit who will be with you. And so the experience that he was bequeathing to his disciples and to us was not a downgraded experience, because Jesus said it would be better.
Yeah,
exactly. It would actually be an upgraded experience, because he would send the Holy Spirit who would walk with us in much the same way.
Mm. And I think there's, like, I've always found it so interesting where you hear when Jesus was leaving, like he was ascending, when he was like, you know, maybe had a toe sticking out of a cloud still, who knows, you know, he was ascending, he was physically, bodily leaving, and he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, or like he says, I will be with you always, basically. Like, he says,
all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, and lo, that King James, lo, and lo, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Even to the end of the age.
That's it. I will be with you
always, even to the end of the age.
Yes.
And for that, I'm like, well, that means, ooh. And I look at this at the end of the scripture. It says here, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So it's not an eyewitness, like, I've seen Him, believe me, I'll tell you about it. It's a so that you too.
I love that big two. Yeah.
It's a big two.
Yeah.
And also, I would take John's authority, because also it's present tense. It says, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not come have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship was with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. It is. And I would take John's opinion, because he walked bodily with Jesus, and now he's walking with the Holy Spirit. And if he is saying, no, this is something you need to come and experience, this, you can come and see this, you can come and hear this, you can have fellowship with Jesus, he's the one that's literally tasted of both
eras,
and has said, hey, this is incredible. Like, this is, you need to come in. And also encouraging people to pursue a gospel in which, in a way that they have touched with their hands, you know?
I like the particular wording that strikes me in that scripture, is that the life was made manifest. And that word manifest is used twice. Of course, you know, people love to talk about manifestations, you know, whether that be people being slain in the spirit, to use an old Pentecostal term, or, you know, just to clarify, you know, where when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on someone so much that they literally will fall down, they can't stand. Mm. You can see that right the way through the scriptures. And, you know, it's literally almost like your body shorts out, and you find yourself, because of the power of God, just collapsing because of the power of God. Or whether that's people crying, weeping with an abundance of emotion, laughing with uncontrollable joy on them, or shaking. Well, what other manifestations can you think about?
Oh, I mean, listen, if you can name it, it's probably happened.
Yeah, so there are these manifestations. Then of course, there are the other manifestations of the spiritual realm that are somewhat more controversial. I've been in meetings before where a heavenly fragrance has swept through the room from no particular reason. Mm. Feathers manifesting. We've seen gold dust manifest on people. And that word manifest, literally something that is hidden becomes unhidden or manifested. And I love the fact that that just points to the life of God, or the life that's in the ultimate reality of the God realm, the spiritual realm, just being made known in this realm.
I find it so silly that you know, saying like a heavenly smell comes through, and like it's controversial, because I'm like, well, I haven't. You're praying on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm.
We pray this. I mean, even from your like really really conservative Christian churches all the way through, we pray on earth as it is in heaven. Like, you can simultaneously be praying that, but then all of a sudden, when heaven actually pitches up and says something like a smell that you know is not natural, but you're worshiping, and this sweet aroma just fills the air, and all of a sudden it's controversial. It's like on earth as it is in heaven, and a piece of heaven, like heaven meets earth, and people are like, you know, I'm like, guys, like, he's here. Like, he's here. Open the door. Like, you've been saying, Lord, Holy Spirit, come, come, Lord, heaven, come to earth, heaven comes to earth. They're like, go away, that's demonic. Come, Holy Spirit, come, 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 Holy Spirit, come, come. Something else happens, and we don't actually recognize, oftentimes, the Lord when he comes.
Well, I think that's the biggest challenge, isn't it? The biggest challenge in a gospel where we... a biblical gospel, because I believe it is biblical, is that we recognize that right the way through from Genesis through to the book of the Revelation, we have these supernatural occurrences. And actually, if you read the Bible, the supernatural is supernatural. It happens over and over again. In fact, we should seriously question whether our faith is biblical if nothing supernatural ever occurs, because the Bible is such a supernatural book.
Yeah.
And the story of the gospel as recorded in the Bible is so supernatural.
No, it's so true. Like, it's so true. We're talking about a God of the universe, a personal God, a God that wants to be with us, and a Holy Spirit that dwells with us, but does nothing ever.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what do you do? That sounds exciting. That sounds like something people are definitely going to want to follow.
Well, I think the thing is we have settled for an unbiblical faith in so many ways. I mean, after all, Scripture says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. I really believe that you could flip that around for so many people who live like that reads, the kingdom of God is not a matter of power, but of talk, because we spend so much time dissecting what people say, and they, you know, like, you know, have they got the right eschatology, you know, epistemology, axiology, ecclesiology, you know, have you got the right ology? But actually, we don't examine so much what they do unless what they do comes down to the people's morality. We are pretty hot on morality. And of course, morality is important. But if the kingdom of God is a matter of power, we have to ask ourselves, where's the power? Where's the power?
And it's interesting. It's like, of course, it's not only of talk. Like, there is obviously talk. There is really, and I believe that, like, studying theology and getting into all of the ologies
absolutely.
Is so good. It builds this wonderful framework. It also in many ways keeps you safe and grounded. But if you have just got a house with no one living in it, the house is completely pointless. Like, if you've built a beautiful home and it's pristine, but you never let anyone move in, the house will stay pristine. It won't become a messy family home and things won't get moved over, not, but it'll be the function of the house is redundant. And I mean, like, the Lord kind of gave me this picture. He's like, listen, if you build a house and no one lives in it, it's pointless. And so it was like, if you've got all this great framework and you don't allow Holy Spirit to actually move and live and breathe and be in there, and you've just relegated that, it's pointless. However, at the same time, if you haven't got a good framework for something, if you haven't got a good home, then, you know, you can be tossed around to a lot of different things. You kind of have a bit of a vagrant mentality. You've got nothing to ground yourself. So I like reading your Bible is incredibly important. And it's one of the ways that we also recognize God when he comes and recognize Holy Spirit, is because we know from this anchor who he is and how he works and what happens with
and
him.
And how he thinks.
And how he thinks.
Yeah.
So God comes in and we can be like, oh, yes, let's go. And also something can happen and you're like, that contradicts the word. That contradicts this that I've studied, this, you know, this part of God that I've studied. And you can be like, you know what? I don't think that's the Lord. I think that's something else. And therein we don't, then we have these parameters and boundaries that the Lord's given us as well.
Yeah, I mean, one of the expressions in the scripture that you just read right now is that this is the living word. Mm. I think that's the challenge. I think as we study the various different ologies and as we study theology and all the different ologies, if our study does not lead us to encounter, we're deceived.
Yeah.
If it doesn't lead us into a personal encounter with the living God, then all we've got, it's a
then
little
you're
bit
just
like
smart.
Yeah. You maybe because you might end up, I think the more you study the Bible without encountering God and without encountering the Holy Spirit, actually, the more you are in danger of actually embracing error.
Yeah.
To be honest, because
it's brutal.
Yeah, but Holy Spirit is the one who Jesus said leads us into all truth, and it's a little bit like I was just thinking now as you were talking about your house. It's a little bit like going on cooking courses. If you go and study cooking, but you eat no meals, that's a little bit like studying the Bible and theology if it doesn't lead you to an encounter with the living God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like then what's the point?
Exactly.
Then it's just another thing that you're studying. It's the same. Well, then you might as well go and study botany if your life isn't going, if you're just going to have head knowledge.
Yeah.
So
what are we talking about then? If we, you know, I can hear someone just saying, well, Jess, Nigel, what do you mean encounter God? How should I be expecting God to encounter me in my study of the Bible, in my worship time, etc.? What do you mean by that, Nigel? Are you saying that every time I read my Bible, I should fall down laughing and getting drunk in the Holy Spirit like I've seen some people doing?
Well, I think one thing when it comes to creating, I think of it as creating space for the Lord. And I think I made this point actually when I was preaching. We're really good as Christians of filling space. So you say, okay, I'm going to have my quiet time for an hour, half an hour, 2 hours, whatever. This is my time. I'm going to have quiet time. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read this. I'm going to journal. I'm going to put these out. And we make it very practical. And I think, I mean, I'm quite practical, and I think that's great. But we don't leave a space for Holy Spirit to do whatever Holy Spirit wants
well,
to
that's
do.
Well, that's the question I'm asking you is, like, that's a good how. Okay, that's a good how.
But like a what?
Yeah, what am I expecting God to do if I'm saying, like, you know what, this study and my pursuit and my prayer, I'm wanting to encounter God. What do you think that
looks
like, Jess?
Well, that's why I started with a how, I think.
Okay.
Is because the what varies
massively.
So I would be almost nervous to say this is what it looks like, because maybe it looks like that, but then on Tuesday it's going to look differently. Or, you know, I think it's like, it's with a person. If I'm going to hang out with you and I'm like, okay, I hang out with Dad when we go and get ice cream. But then what about if we go for a drive? I'm like, no, I'm not actually hanging out with Dad because we didn't get ice cream. That was not a dad encounter.
Yeah.
You know, that was not a dad encounter. We didn't get ice cream. So it's kind of tricky, I think, to say this is what it looks like. And that's why I would say is to, it's also a learning thing. Like just with any relationship, you kind of go and you've got a certain relationship with them. You've got a certain depth. But the more often and with more regularity you hang out with that person, the more you learn them, the more you know them, and the more you can pick up on like the nuances of their personality and who they are and how they think and what they do. So I would say like you kind of start with the how, and you sit. And so what I like to do is like to go somewhere and to open up 5 minutes. For 5 minutes, I put on a worship song and I'm just going to sit with you, Lord, and I'm going to take note of how I'm feeling.
I like that.
That sort of take note of how I'm feeling. Sometimes I'm just sitting there and I just have an overwhelming sense of just gratefulness to the Lord. And I'll just
gratitude.
And I'll just sit in that space. And I'll just, you know, maybe I'll say thank you, Lord, but I'll just sit in that space. Maybe I'll just feel this love come on me. Maybe I'll just feel peace. And my really good friend Tim, he has a thing, he says, thank you, Jesus, I receive just that.
Mm.
And I think it's gone throughout our whole group now, like for so many things. It's just such a beautiful key. And it's like you feel like at the tiniest little stirring in your spirit, and you just go, ah, oh, thank you, Jesus. I receive whatever that is.
Explain to me, I mean, I think I know what you're talking about, but for the benefit of our audience, what do you mean the tiniest stirring in your spirit? What am I expecting to feel with that? Or some of the things are possibly, and not necessarily it's this, but it could be this.
I always feel it like that, like this. I always feel it as a stirring. Something stirs in me. And that, I mean, I think no one's in my body and I'm not in other people's body. So maybe you can share from your experience, but I'll sit there and I'll notice something a little bit different.
Okay.
You know, so I'll be sitting somewhere.
Is that physically or emotionally?
Usually with me, I'd start emotionally and right. might build to feeling something physically.
Right. Okay.
Sometimes I'll sit there and I just feel so good.
Yeah.
Like I just feel, oh, but you're here. And I've learned that feeling is the presence.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? So over my, so I'll be like, oh, I felt the presence of God. And because I've just learned to recognize, oh, that's it. Maybe then I get goosebumps or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think it's just learning to stop. You know that verse that says, be still and know that I am God?
Yeah.
Sometimes it is that thing of actually stopping and to feel.
Yeah.
Like stopping to feel. And I think we can often get an uncomfortable space if you haven't learned to practice it, because
yeah.
you can't stop and force a feeling. You actually
no.
have to stop
and
hold
wait.
Space and
yeah.
wait.
Oh.
It's like to wait on the Lord, to be still and know. And that can be really uncomfortable sometimes, because maybe you get nothing that first time.
I remember it's quite interesting actually, because a lot of people associate the way I encounter God, they think, oh, Nigel's just an easy receiver, you know, he's this or that, and they think it. But I remember when I started on this journey, I felt so deficient in this area. I was like, Lord, I don't know what I'm waiting for. You know, I don't know. I would just, you know, and I'd get so frustrated because your mum would just say, well, you just do this, you just do that. Because she just seemed to have a very, and I don't know if that's a male thing, and that women are just often tend to be more intuitive and in touch with their feelings.
I think often we're given permission to be in touch with our feelings,
yeah.
and men are not often given permission to be in touch. So like when I say stop, sit and hold space,
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes it might come easier, because when you say to a guy, get in touch with your feelings, they immediately, like, there's a part of them that doesn't want to really do that.
No, thank you.
Exactly. Yes. And therein maybe sometimes lies wrong. Because you kind of have to know how you feel if you want to know that, oh, that wasn't something that I was feeling. That was something outside of me.
Yeah.
You know?
But over time, I just started recognizing when the presence of God would come, the impact that would happen in my soul, my feelings, often even in my mind, the quality of thinking, of my thinking would change. I would just have, you know, better thoughts, or, you know, often happier thoughts when I would begin to just think the Lord's thoughts after him, and you know, better
life.
Thoughts.
Just
yeah.
like life
yeah.
into
Well, it's what that scripture says, is his life comes into the room and begins to be manifested or made known to you. And you have to actually learn to pay attention to what's happening in your mind and in your thoughts, what's happening in your soul, and also what's happening in your body. So for me, often, and I don't know if this is common or whatever, but for me, often when the presence of God is in a room, particularly with regard to the angelic, I get a buzzing sensation, or a vibrating, almost an electrical sensation that seems to flood my body. And I've learned to recognize now that the only time I feel that, I don't feel that at any other time than when I am encountering God's presence. And Yeah, and so I've learned over time, and it reminds me of a story I heard many years ago of how they, and to be honest, I don't know if this is a true story or not, but it makes a wonderful illustration of how they train pilots to recognize oxygen deprivation. And apparently, they will put pilots, trainee pilots, into a flight simulator, and they begin to drain the oxygen out of the flight simulator little by little. And what they do is they get the pilot's piece of paper and a pencil, and they say, every 30 seconds, write down what you are experiencing. And they will write down, I'm feeling this, or I feel euphoric, or some people I feel depressed, I feel panicky, etc. In their emotions, or I've got a burning sensation in my temples, etc. And they write down what's happening in their soul and in their body, or anything that they notice, and they just do it over and over again, because they repeat that exercise over and over again, because in doing it, they begin to learn the patterns of how oxygen deprivation
Affects
looks
them
with them
personally.
personally, because no one can tell them this is what you're going to feel, because no two people react exactly the same,
So
although there
good.
can be commonalities. And I think that's one of the things that learning to recognize how you respond to God's presence.
And that actually takes time to like build up, and that's why I say like to make space for this. And then I think it's also important to note that when we say like we're wanting to experience God, and we wanting to, and it's a lot there in how you feel and what's going on with your body and your five senses and all of this. And I think that is the level we're supposed to be walking in, but we have to also keep in mind that your feelings do not dictate reality.
No.
So like number one thing that you start with, let's say you sit 5 minutes and you feel diddly squat.
Yep.
It does not mean that God wasn't there. It
100%.
doesn't mean any of this, because we know from His Word, and we know that God is with us always.
Yep.
But it's this case of building a hunger in yourself, like, Lord, I know you with me always. I know you in this time with me, but I want to feel your honesty. I want to start encountering you. I want you to walk with me like you walked with the disciples when you're here. I want to see you. I want to go in that
Well,
place, you know?
I think the interesting thing is the Lord is walking with us like that. But our challenge, because He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and He's always with us. Our challenge is to learn to hear and to learn to see. So our challenge is very much
Become aware.
becoming aware and recognizing God's presence. And I think when you begin to learn to recognize God's presence and you stop and respond to that, your senses, your spiritual senses, grow stronger and stronger.
And your natural senses, they start getting in tune with what is actually going on around you in the
Well, let
spiritual
me say
realm.
then, your senses, your sensing of the spiritual realm, if I
Yes,
can put it like that,
that's a good way to
your
put it.
sensing of the spiritual gets attuned and grows stronger and stronger. And the converse is also true. The more you resist the presence of God, when the presence of God comes, if God's just tapping you gently on the shoulder, or sometimes God comes and He's smacking you upside the head, you can actually turn away from that and choose not to respond, not to lean in and say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. Is this you? Show me what you're saying. Show me what. And if you choose not to do that, you actually grow more dull of hearing and more insensitive to Him. And that's the tragedy when the Bible talks about a generation that have become, insensible, and insensible to Him, and therefore have given themselves over to sensuality, and where we pursue other things and idols to make us come alive, instead of responding to Him who is the manifestation of life in us.
So I think in short, it's like let's pursue a real gospel, something that we don't just have to tell people about, that we can actually show people as well.
Yeah.
You know, like when we say that we believe that God is a healer, we believe that. We can teach seminars on miracles. He's a miracle worker. We can sing praise songs about a miracle worker and a promise keeper. But like, let's go after so that actually we have a paper trail.
Yeah.
So that if we're going to tell someone about this beautiful, loving Jesus, who this miracle worker, this healer, this one that wants a personal relationship with you, let's actually have something that we can back it up, not just really good talking points that we heard at church.
Mm.
Or maybe you can preach it theologically. You can preach this backwards, forward, sideways, up, down, and all around.
But are you praying for healing?
Yes. Are you actually just talking to other Christians about healing, or are you going out there and praying for people who are sick?
With faith.
With faith.
Yeah.
That he is.
Because
are you actually putting yourself in a place, in a position, whether that be by yourself, whether that being like, you know what, though that group of people that I know they see this, I know they really see God, I'm going to go and I'm going to walk with them until I start seeing it.
Yeah.
I'm going to put myself in a place where I know where I can see God move, or with people that are seeing God move, and I'm going to hold myself there until I start to see this as well.
Yeah. The reality is we want a living gospel. We want the living God to be made known, to be made manifest in us, to us, and through us.
Amen. So we can bring an encountered gospel to the world.
So yeah, that's Rabbit Trails for this week. We, as always, love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Give us your thoughts. This is a big topic, and we've just scratched the surface with our 32 minutes on this. So get back with us. What else? What does this? What rabbit is chased out of your particular bushes with this? So yeah, get back to us.
And tune in. Like we're doing like every 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, about every 2 weeks. Yeah, We would love to hear from you.
Tune in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Rabbit Trails. Tune in next week to listen to our next podcast.